will be regarding the factors that maintain the continuity of mindfulness. Before we go into that, I would say that when you start to meditate, or try to concentrate, we have to have some kind of aim, objective. To have no aim or objective, you won't get anywhere. But to have an aim or objective, you may start to obsess with it. So to try to resolve the situation, I would say you can try having double standards. In the sense that you have one long-term objective and one immediate objective. Long-term objective is say where you can aim for Nirvana. Whatever that is, must be something fantastic, something good. That will keep us on track for a long time. But we also know that it's going to be some time before that comes. So don't think too much about it. So there is this immediate objective. The first and I think a very nice objective is to sit and have some peace of mind. It should be something easy to reach. Sometimes even thinking of getting some level of concentration is a little bit too much. I want concentration. It doesn't come. Sometimes you just sit like an idiot, also it doesn't really, not too helpful. Sometimes you just sit and be an idiot. Better idea is to sit and have some peace of mind. Don't think too much, don't want too much. Just, you know, some people come and meditate and they try very hard. The more they try, the more tense and stressed they become, you know. Instead of releasing stress, they add more stress. So what you do is, oh, after I say, oh, this is terrible, I'm not getting anywhere. Then you ask, you come here to stress yourself or to get some peace of mind. Okay, you get some peace of mind. Peace is not so difficult to get. Just sit and be quiet. Where is peace? Peace is within yourself. Just simple peace. Unless you're in terrible pain or in terrible distress, you know, usually it is possible to just relax and to be in the present and to be here and now and to and just remain a bit quiet. And there's peace. Not too difficult. And yet, this is the starting point, a starting point of all concentration, a very basic peace of mind, which is present in all human beings. Generally, if you don't think and relax, and just about to go to sleep, it is there. If you don't hold on, you just go to sleep, that's all, which isn't too bad. No, it's good rest. Because if you just forget this basic peace, you're not getting anywhere. You just like you want to ride a bicycle, at least you start to have some basic balance of mind. And then once you start balance your bicycle and you start riding, it keeps going, you know. If you keep falling, then you start getting back onto your balance. This is just that very basic peace of mind. You don't have to think to that. You don't have to do anything much. Just sit and keep quiet and be happy. At least a little bit of happiness, maybe. And it's there. Now, once you have this, there's a second thing. To have continuous mindfulness. Yes? To have continuity in mindfulness, clear awareness. This becomes a long story. But it doesn't sound so bad, you know. You think of Nibbana or absorptions or what, you know, insight knowledge, that's getting a bit something you're not familiar with. But at least you know what mindfulness is, and you try to be as continuous as you can. That just means. It's not too frightening. But once you get continuous mindfulness, everything falls into place. Because once the mindfulness is continuous, the mind becomes manageable, the mind becomes more clear, and concentration naturally falls into place. And once concentration falls into place, if your basic mindfulness is correct, you say vipassana mindfulness, then insight also naturally falls into place. Because insight is concentrated vipassana mindfulness, insight mindfulness of the here and now, of the present reality. One follows after another. So when continuous mindfulness becomes longer, then the other things can be considered to make the practice more precise. But for now, we talk about continuity. Yes. So we see into certain factors that bring about continuity. Again, we go back to the basics.
You go back to the question a lady asked on day before yesterday.
How to be clear? Go back to the basics that mindfulness is a state of mind. And the continuous mindfulness is the continual arousing of this state of mind. You may not be very precise as to the nature of the insight mindfulness, but at least you have mindfulness, clear, peaceful, soft awareness of the present moment, of the here and now, of the present object. Notice that the object at this point is secondary. The object is secondary. The state of mind is primary. Because you emphasize too much on the object and trying to hold on to the object, you forget about the state of mind. Say, quantity before quality. No? So you have the idea of the, let's say, mindfulness is a clear, peaceful awareness, soft, gentle, and you keep arousing this state of mind. The objects that you use, like rising, falling, in and out, breath, or even is secondary. Yes. Because if this state of mindfulness becomes stronger and continuous, no matter what you object you use, it gets more concentrated. And even if you don't use one object, you use many objects, the momentum produced by this continual mindfulness is enough to produce a certain degree of concentration for insight. Now, before we go into that, I think I shouldn't go too detail. So one of the first things that we need to learn is to know through experience whether we are mindful or we are not mindful. If we are very mindful, of course we know. When there is completely no mindfulness, we know. You know, mind is totally chaotic, out of control. But the difference comes when you are little mindful and a little not mindful. No? Where the line the Christian is the grey areas, all those grey areas, you know. And those that make the difference. And if you, at those areas, you can clearly separate, and this is mindful, this is not mindful. And then your mindfulness can be more precise. This comes with experience and how much attention you pay to your state of mind. So that as you get better, you become more familiar with what mindfulness is, and so the production of mindfulness becomes better. Generally, we would say that when the five hindrances, I think you're familiar with that, the five hindrances arise, you know, these sensual cravings, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and remorse, skeptical doubts, when they arise, that means there's no mindfulness. But if your mind is mindful, clear, peaceful, aware, and you clearly know what's going on, you're mindful, right? So with the willpower, when you start learning to produce more and more mindfulness, where willpower become more and more precise and efficient, then more mindfulness be continuous. Second thing that you can take into consideration is the mindfulness of intentions. Usually the intentions, sometimes we won't call intentions, sometimes we call impulses, urges. When they come up, very often we are not aware of them. And yet, this is the thing that begins every action. So if you are not mindful of these intentions when they arise, the beginning of the action is also usually not mindful. Yes. For example, people sit and after that, After sitting, you get up, no? Then the bell rings, they get up. Sometimes just to, make them more aware, ask, do you know when you get up, which part of your body moves first? No? Then they start thinking, my hands, my legs, are you sure? And then they start becoming, learning to be more aware of it. And to maintain the continuity, this is usually the in-between state. So to maintain, make sure it is continuous, you try your best to link the gap. And the gap is this intention. Yes? Give you an example. There was one person that wanted to watch his intention. And he was standing and he was waiting for the intention to walk, to come up. And because he was so intent to watch, to catch the intention, it didn't come out. I'm going to walk. When is the intention I'm going to walk? It didn't come out. So he stood and he stood and he stood. And he stood for 1 hour. Finally he felt tired. When he felt tired, the intention to sit came up. I want to sit. So, but then immediately he caught it, you see? Then he knows what it is. Yeah. After that he didn't have any problem with the intentions, he knows what it is. So that's why generally sometimes he asks, if you sit or walk, or you're not supposed to move. You know? But you'll move anyway. But you know when you're going to move and why you're going to move. So in a person's life, there's so many intentions, major intentions, and within this main intention and following after that, these are minor intentions and minor impulses and so on. No? This is going to watching the consciousness. No? But it is one thing that is important in, very important in maintaining the continuity. The other part played in watching intentions is intentions are involved with what we call clear comprehension. Clear comprehension is something like mindfulness, but something more than that. When you talk of clear comprehension, the people usually talk of 4 aspects of clear comprehension. Of purpose, of suitability, of field, and of non-delusion or insight. The last two is the development of the first two. For example, you have an intention. When the intention arises, and you mindfully notice it arising, that's the first step. And when your intention arises, automatically you will also be able to catch the purpose behind it. Yes? Purpose behind it. The motivation behind it. Because it comes together with it. Right? Sometimes it's them. Many intentions behind one intention. The apparent one. Then there's the underlying one. The hidden intentions. First you get an apparent intention, then after that the underlying intention. So for example, when you're meditating, then the thought arises, I want to go to the toilet. Yes? To the toilet. No. Whatever that stimulated, probably you saw somebody go to the toilet, so then you want to go to the toilet. Or maybe you have a full bladder, or maybe you have fear of whatever. So, there are many reasons. So, there's intention to go to the toilet, and then you wash. Intention to go to the toilet. When you catch the intention, you said, then you really see the motive behind it. Sometimes you really don't need to go to the toilet. And sometimes because one reason is sometimes because they want to escape meditation. That's when you go in there, nobody sees them, they can be more relaxed for a while. Especially in a long intensive retreat, right? Among the people of you. No rest for the wicked. Walks. But sometimes you really need to, you know, then of course you go. Then when you come to the suitability, when you want to do something, you want to sit or you want to say something, then the question of suitability arises. The purpose may be good, but the suitability may not be so good. So how do you know? What generally happens is, if you are really aware of the intentions to do something, you also can be aware of the conditions around it. I want to tell this person something. Then you're aware of the conditions involved with telling the person something. And so the person is, I know, there was once somebody was meditating, he was bending a bit and straying a bit. Then this lady, out of a good heart, went to her. Actually, she was having good concentration, but although her body was swaying a bit. So she kept. And then finally she woke up and said, "What happened? You're swaying. You're swaying. My body is shaking." So she got angry with her because she disturbed her concentration. And the other lady came. "I tried to help her, but she was angry with me." I said, "It's not your business to wake up people. You're supposed to be minding your own business, meditating." So her intentions was good, but it wasn't suitable. So this happens in our case, not just in this one, but also in the meditation itself. Okay. Suppose you're sitting and watching your rising and falling, and you get very distressed. Maybe I should change my, object, and watch pain instead. And so, is it suitable or not? So once you watch the intention, you also notice the conditions that are around the intention. And once you see the conditions, your mindfulness is clear. You naturally know what to do. Because the priority is to maintain that good awareness, the continuity of the awareness. And because what our intentions do will guide us to, what our intentions are will guide us to whatever situations they are. And if your clear comprehension with these intentions is well established, then you will naturally take you to the most suitable conditions for continuity of mindfulness. In the beginning, it may take some thinking, but with experience, it becomes a kind of intuition. It automatically knows. Now the third factor is a very long thing, big long story. The third factor is skill in handling the various objects. This comes under the four foundations of mindfulness. How skillful you are able to handle your meditation objects. It's just like going on the road. Sometimes we say that meditation is like a traveling along a journey from here to Nibbana. It's a long and winding road to the no return. So you travel. But it's not one road, you go through many type of terrain. If you have a highway one, you just can speed, you know. But sometimes it's not highway one, it's highway 358, something like that. And it's a small little county road with a lot of bumps, you know. So, and after a while, there's no more road. There's only there's no road but the river. So start learning to swim, you know. So sometimes you have your nice breath in and out, but sometimes it's not clear, it stops. So you get to go, what do you do? You just leave your mind blank, you know, you have to keep going. Your mindfulness has to start going on to develop. And so you change to another object, probably touching objects. And later pain becomes so dominant, you can't watch anything else but pain, because that's the only thing that's staring at you right in the face. You've got to work with me, you've got to settle me. And so there's no way, no escape. Too much pain. Like when you're sick, you know, sometimes there's nothing to watch but pain. So, to be able to maintain mindfulness, continuity, is to learn to handle it, right? And so the skill in handling all these objects. Right? And meditation is, unless you're one of those spiritual prodigy, that you take one retreat or one sitting and you get enlightened, you know? Then I have nothing to say, but but most of us are not like that. And so, in the course of life, we have to learn to handle all situations, which means all objects. Yeah. Don't have the time to go through all of that, but I just give them. Generally, in Vipassana, Satipatthana, there are four groups of objects. First is the body foundation of mindfulness, body sensations. Yes. And I just say the main, what I think, the main key to body foundations of mindfulness is body sensitivity. Yeah, to be, when you're bodily sensitive, you're sensitive to your body sensations, they will be clear. When they're clear, you can follow them and deal with them. Right? The trouble is when you watch the breath, you see, where's the breath? The little thing that, ding dong, ding dong. Is it there or is it not? I'm not too sure, you know. When the wind blows, it's all over the face. So you're not sure. But if you are clear and sensitive, it is there, poking you at the nose. Then of course, you know, it's not too difficult. Then the next one is the feelings foundation of mindfulness. Painful feelings, happy feelings, neutral feelings. The first is the painful feeling. Introduction to your world of feelings. Not a very nice introduction, but nevertheless, the first introduction. You know? And the key to this is acceptance. Yeah? Once you're able to accept it, then you can deal with it. If you cannot accept it, even though a little bit of discomfort is hell. No? Even 1 minute is like 10 hours. Bad. Actually, it's not so bad. You won't die, but it's so terrible. You know. Even you can try and see when you feel so terrible. You just say, you know, you may not mean it so much. You just say, "I accept it. I accept it. I accept it." You feel better. And then, just make a point is that when you say accept, it doesn't mean surrender in the sense of giving up in despair, you know. It's actually acceptance of a nature of reality that you can work with it. And I feel that this is one of the most important things, because I've experimented with a lot of pain, and when you really wholehearted with clear awareness accept it, even the greatest pain will come and go. Then the third is consciousness. Consciousness, I feel that the key to it is to have maintained at least some degree of continuity. Because once the momentum of when mindfulness goes on, it is automatic. And when it's automatic, that means the mind produces the mindfulness itself. For example, we know that these hindrances, like defilements, craving, anger, will arise to some degree. For example, when thoughts arise, you know, it's a funny thing that you don't know when it arises. No? But right when you're thinking, you should know when you start thinking. But usually people don't. You know? It goes on for some time before you discover it. And after that, oh my goodness, I've been thinking. You know? It's already half an hour gone. Something like that. So that's when the mindfulness comes back. So if your mindfulness, tendency to mindfulness is strong, the moment the thought arises, the habit of mindfulness comes back and watch, I'm thinking. So there's a continuous momentum of habit of mindfulness being built up. Helps to look into the nature of the consciousness. That's why to go into meditation on consciousness, the first two foundations has to be fairly well established. On the body and on feelings. In the fourth foundation, the Dhamma. Dhamma to me is phenomena. No phenomena, nature. It means anything also can be nature. It's usually translated as mind object. But everything also can be mind object. So that doesn't very clear. So phenomena means any natural reality, natural phenomena that can be perceived by mindfulness, usually as a characteristic. This one is key to it is actually anatta, perception of non-self, the perception of natural occurrence. That's why this one is a bit, usually people leave this out, but actually it is, they say Dhamma is that which phenomena which bears its own characteristic. Like, no? Earth element is rigidity, no? Water element is the cohesive force, wind element is the tension, fire element is the heat. No? If we just clear mindfulness and watch this, for example, the rising, falling, the wind element, the tension, and there's nothing but the characteristic and quality of tension, and the mind that watches this is just pure, clear awareness. At the time, there's no thinking, there's no conceptualization. The question of who you are and what you are, whether there's a self or no self, doesn't come into the picture because there's no thinking. And so, at the time, there's just natural phenomena with the awareness looking into the nature of the wind element, the tension, and this has its own characteristics. At that time, that is, you can say the body, it can also say it's the Dhamma. If you look it into a wider range of objects, then it is phenomena. That means to be able to watch experiences in that way is the key to Dhammanupassana, foundation of mindfulness. Okay. Of course, each set of objects has its own skills. Right? It's something that you learn as you go along. Like pain, you know, there's so many ways to handle pain. There's so many types of pain. Even the rising, falling has its own peculiarities. The breath has its own peculiarities. The walking, meditation has its own peculiarities. And so, it's a skill being developed into dealing with all these objects. You know? That's why you need retreats and guidance and your own common sense, creativity. I feel the most important is your own common sense. And so when you have learned a fair deal of this, how to handle this, then the mindfulness can be more continuous. One of the things I would consider as a key point to progress is methodology, methods and techniques. Yeah? And many of these is something that you have to discover for yourself, because each person has his own temperaments and type of mind, type, mind type. And so when you recognize your mind type, you also recognize your type of techniques that suit you. Yes? Once you have these basic things, then the next factor comes in, is the balancing. The balancing of the faculties, particularly with energy faculty and concentration faculty. The energy faculty is the active aspect of the mind, mindfulness. The concentration faculty is the tranquil or the still aspect of the mindfulness. What normally happens in the beginning is the active part is too much. Meditate, push, 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 and you get all tensed up, you know. So you need to be more relaxed. It's not a question of making effort. Of course we have to make effort. It's the right effort. It's the effort with mindfulness, not just effort and more effort. It's just like starting a car. At the beginning, especially you're going up a hill, you start with the first gear. Similarly, in the first and you start, no matter how much you try, it's going to take time to warm up, to get used to the place and to get used to the practice. You push too much, you get headache. That's generally what happens. So you strike what we call optimal meditation mindfulness efficiency. Unfortunately, it's not something that you can calibrate somewhere here. It's something that comes with your own mental experience. You know, you feel it. Like you feel the engine is moving just right. It may not be much, but for the time being, just like that. For example, you make more effort, it becomes better. You make some more, it becomes better. You make some more, oh dear, tension. And then you start relaxing again. It's not how much effort you can make, it's making the right effort. And then after that, later the concentration may come up. For some people, the concentration potential is stronger. Because they get calm and peaceful very quickly. It's not so common nowadays, but they are. Particularly for certain type of people and for people who have done tranquility meditations before. They're so used to going into this peaceful state. So when they meditate, they go into this peaceful state. And they get stagnate there. They can sit there for hours sometimes. But they don't get insight. And if they dwell longer in it, they fall asleep. So when that happens, then you know that the tranquility aspect, the concentration aspect is too much. So you start raising the energy. So when one is able to this balancing of faculties is something very sensitive, and something it takes time to learn. There are different ways and how to balance it. You don't have time for that. Maybe you can read about it. So generally, if you have these factors, the mindfulness should be fairly continuous, and the right concentration would arise, and when the right concentration arises, it maintains the practice. It's just like you have the root of life in the pot, and you keep boiling it. sooner or later something's going to happen, right? So when you have vipassana concentration, you maintain it and you meditate long enough, sooner or later the essence, the insight would arise. Yeah.
I'm supposed to talk until 4 o'clock. It's 4 o'clock. I think we stop here today. Any questions? Or you can have questions during the tea. Is it?
Well, let's take a few minutes for questions now, just maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah, okay.
And then we'll do the rest of the tea.
Yes?
If anybody wants to talk here, use the mic.
Can you please just summarize it? 4 points.
The first point is having a clear idea of what mindfulness is and keep arousing it. Yes? Second is intentions. Being mindful of intentions and the conditions connected with intentions, with a clear comprehension as to what is most suitable for the production of continuous mindfulness. The third is skill in handling the various objects with mindfulness. Fourth is balancing of the faculties of energy and concentration. Yes.
I would benefit by a deeper explanation or a repeated explanation of the nature of diffuse awareness, as you were speaking of it this morning, and precise, what I understand to be object awareness. Today, as I was doing walking meditation, for instance, I experimented with diffuse awareness, and diffuse awareness sometimes is an overall peaceful, tranquil feeling, and sometimes it's a multi-pointed awareness as you're sweeping the body, and perhaps I am able to hold on to several points of awareness at one time. I don't know if you call that diffuse awareness or precise awareness, and maybe this is a continuum. But then I became aware in my visual field of the sidewalk, and as I turned my attention to what I perhaps understand to be object awareness, the sidewalk, and my concentration is quite focused on the sidewalk, I stay with this long enough so that my awareness and the sidewalk are no longer separate. And then this gives way again to peaceful, tranquil. And so I am somewhat lost in the distinctions, the boundaries between your descriptions, because mine are fluid. Am I confused?
maybe a little. You're not practicing wrongly. No, you're practicing all right. Except that there is a preference of objects and direction Generally, if you want to go to deeper meditation, the direction is inwards, not outwards. No? For example, generally when you go into retreat, you would think of going into deeper concentration, if possible. This includes walking meditation. So you try not to be so directed towards external objects like the sidewalks. They come about, but they are unavoidable. Unless in daily life, where you have to pay attention to the external objects, then you do so mindfully. So in this case, if you are in a retreat and you are walking, you notice the sidewalks, but you avoid going into the sidewalks. You slowly try to bring the mind inwards, that is towards the body and towards the footsteps. Then there's less possibility of you going out. Then you maintain a certain composure and strength. But because you are able to still maintain the awareness and clarity, and you tend to go with the object and flow with the object, they are still peaceful. There's still mindfulness, which is good. You know, that means you have mindfulness, and your mindfulness is giving you the peace. It's correct.